Welcome, friends, to ArtCast. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, welcoming you back once again for yet another conversation from BS Live San Francisco, where, let's just say I recorded a ton of stuff, and it was kind of fun. In fact, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be at the UK Architecture Insight Forum in Wales. I've never been to Wales, but I'm really looking forward to it, because every time I go to the UK, I just end up in London. So it's kind of nice to go someplace different for a change. And I'll be interviewing a bunch of folks there. Look forward to seeing some of you, perhaps, meeting you. And but today, we have Josh Holmes, who has some really interesting thoughts about Visual Studio tools for Office. Have you ever thought about building an app that runs in Office? It's kind of cool stuff. I think you're going to enjoy it. Let's give it up for Josh Holmes. Well, I'm Ron Jacobs here at BS Live San Francisco, where I am joined by one of the other BS Live speakers here, Josh Holmes. Josh, tell me about yourself.
Well, my name is Josh Holmes. I'm a senior software consultant with SRT Solutions based out of southeastern Michigan. Microsoft MVP, INETA speaker, heavily involved in user groups. I speak on a lot of different topics and do a lot of different things. My focus is to make sure that my customers' data is where they need it, when they need it. So if that's on their phone, if that's on their pocket PC, if that's on their web, if that's at their desk, you know, I want to make it as easy for them to access and to manipulate as possible.
Ah, very cool. So another Michigan guy, because I was just talking to Rocky Latka a little earlier.
Yeah, Rocky's actually from Minnesota.
Oh, that's right.
He's Minneapolis.
What am I thinking? You know, us in the West Coast.
It's cold.
It all starts, all the cold land. It all starts with M.
Whatever. The difference is that they have sled dogs and we don't.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, you have a real interesting title for one of your talks here at VS Live. You call it Visual Studio Tools for Office, the Agony and the Ecstasy.
Absolutely.
Interesting choice of words there. Why do you say it that way?
Well, the reason I say it that way is that if you've seen the VSTO demos, they are very cool. You know, you get some talking head from Microsoft who no offense, who will, you know, throw up an app and in a few moments, you know, he's got a working VSTO application and it's all exciting and everything else and it works beautifully. You never see him try to deploy it. You never see him try to actually get this to scale to any level, you know, hundreds of users across an entire enterprise. You never see him try to do versioning. With VSTO. And so I'm going to do the fun, cool, slick demo. And then I'm going to deploy it. And then I'm going to do all the other things that you never get to see that guy do. And there are some of those things that are kind of hard.
Yeah.
Still with Visual Studio Tools for Office. So as nice as it has become, there are still some problem areas. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on, is how to overcome those problem areas so that you can actually have a pleasant experience with Visual Studio Tools for Office.
Now, you know, I'm going to start a movement to ban those kind of demos. You know, it's really because I'm involved actually in planning TechEd this year. And so I sent a mail to the architect MVPs and I asked them, you know, what things do you hate about conferences? You know what the number one answer was? Those demos. They hate those.
Right. Well, I mean, you see some guy pull, you know, 40 lines of code from the snippet, you know, from the
clipboard ring.
And he pastes it in. You never actually get to see him write that code. You never actually get to see him, you know, create, you know, walk through that code. It just happens to appear.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, but in a few moments, they've got an amazingly flashy application.
And what you don't know is behind the scenes, they spent 6 months putting that together. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, not to take anything away from those guys.
Yeah.
You know, they're incredibly smart and gifted programmers. And the reality is you can do amazing things with .NET. And you know, especially with 2005, you know, the from Visual Studio Tools for Office to ASP.NET to Compact Framework, you can quickly generate and build an application that works. I mean, amazing amounts of time. But is that what you want to ship into production?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between what I'm going to be talking about in the flashy talking head demo. So,
well, you know, I've never done one of those flashy talking head demos. They probably would never let me do one, you know. I haven't, you know, risen up the food chain enough. But yeah, it would be cool, you know, to have Bill go, and now I'm going to have Ron Jacobs come out here and show you this whiz-bang demo thingy. And you know, thanks, Bill, go. And I'm here to, you know.
Right, exactly, exactly.
That's my dream. But, you know, anyway, we're working on that. But, hey, so here's the interesting question. You talked about earlier kind of your job is, you know, bring the data wherever people want it, the web and mobile device and all that. And does it really make sense? Is one of the places where people want their data in an Office application?
Absolutely. And the reason for that is because you have some secretary who is making $10, $15 an hour. Do you want to train her on how to use your application?
No.
No, that's ridiculous because, you know, she may not be there next week.
Right.
And so what do you want her to be doing? You want her to be as comfortable in her environment as possible. Where are people comfortable? Everybody knows Word. Everybody knows Excel. Everybody knows Outlook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that same $15 secretary, in her last job, they trained her on how to use Word.
Yeah, right.
You know, and if not, you can get the what's the guy's name? There's the guy who has the Windows 95 training that he still sells for some, you know.
Yeah.
But for $15, you can go get him a CBT, you know, computer-based training to show them how to use Word.
Uh-huh.
Once they learn how to use Word, voila, they can use a Visual Studio Tools for Office application. Because all they need is Word. Mm-hmm. And once they're writing inside of the template you created, they fill out the fields, they type, they write their application. You can do, you know, all the background parsing. You can save that off, via web service. You can prompt them with new information from, you know, that you got from a database. You can show them the action pane and, you know, based on their context of where they are, you can say, well, here's the kind of actions that you want to be doing or, you know, the kind of actions that are available to you. And so you can make this a very low entry point for your, $15 an hour secretary.
So can you give me an example of an app that somebody might build with Word?
Okay. Well, an application that actually I put a bid out on and we'll see what happens.
Oh.
The basketball team, they have people who travel all over the United States scouting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so they need for somebody to type in the scouting reports. And then we need to have that information actually go back to the back-end office with their name, what date they saw this game, you know, what the scores were in the game, how, you know, how many points this particular player scored, and so on and so forth. Well, a real easy way to do that is to have the guy on the plane type into a Word document, and because that's where they're typing all these things in anyways. They're typing it into an email.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have somebody cutting and pasting into another back-end application. Well, that particular process is very error-prone.
Right.
Well, let's just take it right from the email or right from the document that they're typing into and suck that back into the database.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they want to pull something back up, again, we can just pull it back into a regular application or into an Excel spreadsheet or into Outlook or into, you know, whatever format they need it in.
So, you know, I have imagined I haven't had time to work on this yet, but it's one of my dreams, right? There's a whole lot of applications that we use at Microsoft and that are web-based. And, of course, Microsoft is a very, very paperless company. I mean, there's probably 1% of everything I do that needs a paper attached to it. Everything else is done electronically totally. But, you know, the other day I had an invoice to approve, right? And so their invoice system sends me an email. It says, you have an invoice to approve. Here's a link, right? Click the link, go to there, you know, check a button, and you're good to go. As long as you're connected to the network when you happen to read that email.
Yes.
But if you're on the plane and you're reading your mail and you go, oh, there's an invoice. Oh, I got to remember to do that. You know, so I click the follow-up flag and I got to remember next time I'm in the, connected to the network and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if they could have sent me a special kind of message in Outlook, an invoice approval message, and maybe has XML with all the information about the invoice and whatnot. And then when it comes in Outlook, maybe a VSTO app could fire up some special UI and say, here's your invoice. Do you want to approve this or not? You know, and if I am connected, maybe they could have a link if I want to go to the full-blown web app and see the rest of it. But otherwise, I could just say, you know, yes or no or something. Could I build that with VSTO?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You described another great opportunity there. Because, I mean, Outlook is already a great smart client in that online-offline mode. Well, you might as well leverage that offline mode for more purposes than just reading the email.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Outlook, you could build a Outlook add-in, com-based add-in if you wanted to. That's hard. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Let's do this with managed code. And so you can build with Visual Studio Tools for Office all of those event handlers and all of those message readers that would see that special message coming in that is marked as a invoice approval message and go from there. Now, this actually touches briefly on one of the main differences between like a Word add-in and a Word Visual Studio Tools for Office application is that the Word add-in, the COM-based add-in, is available all the way across the board, regardless of what document you happen to be in and what type of document you happen to be in. There are some benefits to that. However, there are also some security implications there because it has access to all of your documents. Okay, Visual Studio Tools for Office, it's template based, and so you actually create a invoice template document, and that document is only good for invoices, or it's only good for scouting reports, or it's only good for and there are a lot of very interesting things there because. With that document, travel all the metadata of here's the version number, here's all of the other information about my add-in and what I need in order to load. So, for example, on your on the Microsoft intranet, if I can pronounce that properly, you could have the invoice approval application living at one of the intranet URLs. And so with ClickOnce deployment, first time you try to load that document, it says, I happen to be an invoice approval document version number 1.1.0.2. Let me go out and I'm going to pull that version from the intranet if it's not already on this box. If it's on the box, I'll just load it and we'll be happy.
Oh, so that's I didn't realize that would work as a deployment solution.
Absolutely.
Ah, very cool.
And so, if you got the first one,
mm-hmm.
and didn't open it while you were on the internet, you'd be upset.
Yeah.
But once you had that first one and you opened it, it would pull that information from the intranet and have that as an offline or have available to you next time you load that document.
Well, because it's an interesting thought because really, in a service-oriented architecture, on one of my previous podcasts, we talked about how humans are just another kind of service, right? I mean, in this example, I'm the approval part of this service, right?
Right.
And they can only do so much, but it all comes down to a human has to interact with this thing. And I think Outlook is one of the best ways to interact with a human, mm-hmm. being able to send that message and get the offline ability to respond whenever I get around to it and all of that.
Right.
And of course, another big one is Excel. I mean, I am amazed at how many people like live in Excel and they use it just day in and day out for all kinds of stuff.
Yep. My first programming course in college was Excel macros. And it taught me a lot, but there were, scared me a lot too, but uh-huh. there's a tremendous amount of power in Excel. And yes, there are managers and there are finance guys and there are, lots and lots of different people that just live in Excel. well, if they're living there already, let's give them tools. Let's give them, you know, our application right there where they need it. I mean, for years, Office has been the standard for UI design, because not because it's great, but because that's what everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of innovation, a lot of push there. You know, but I mean, you go back to Outlook. I mean, how many applications from really from 2000 to now started having that Outlook bar with the buttons on the side where you can click? And well, that's because Outlook's pushing that.
Yeah.
How many applications have a spread control of some sort?
Mm-hmm.
Almost everything has a grid at this point. Why? Because, well, Excel made that popular, made that accessible to everybody. You know, so Microsoft's already done the hard work of training our users for us. So for years, we've tried to make our applications look like Office. Well, stop that. Don't do that anymore. Make Office the front end of your application.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, well, you know, so I'm thinking about the kind of things that an application would do. Like, and so in that scouting example, mm-hmm. So what I'm doing there is I'm capturing data that's going to be pushed into a database and a back end somewhere, you know, probably via a web service call. But instead of having a form, like enter the score, enter this, blah, 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 it goes into a template, a Word template. So I'm not having to train somebody on start my form XE over here, just start Word, open this template, and start plugging in the numbers that you found there.
Absolutely. And it can be a lot more free form than that.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, some of the applications that I've worked on in the past, it's almost all free form text in there. So they can just start jotting their notes as fast as they want to. And then through styles and formatting, they can apply, you know, and say, well, this is a name, this is a, you know, this is the biographical information, this is history data, you know, this is, and you know, so I mean, you can have it very rigid and in a template where they tab between the fields, or you can have it far more free form than that. It depends on how much work you as a developer are willing to go through in order to parse that text out.
So in the free form, you're saying that I could, you know, write my paragraph. I went to this really cool game and Joe Blow scored 10 points, right? And then I would come and say, oh, that 10 points is the game's how much he scored?
Well, it's possible. It's uh-huh. possible, very possible to do that. And then if you really want to get exciting, then you get into natural language processing, which is well outside of the scope of a half-hour podcast.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, where you actually start, you know, processing that information and go, he said 10 points, and start processing that and go, okay, well then, you know, here are the verbs, here are the adjectives, and start looking at, well, that starts to get real exciting.
Or scary, depending how you think about it.
it gets scary too, but I think that's coming.
Yeah.
I think that's coming soon. So.
Well, I can imagine, you know, a lot of applications for this where people are, you know, like doctors maybe typing up medical reports, or insurance people, lawyers, law enforcement. I mean, there's tons of places where people are just basically writing lots and lots of documents.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always been a hard problem with, you know, you have this unstructured narrative kind of stuff that's living off in a document somewhere that's related to some very structured data, like a car accident that happened, and there's a police report, there's an insurance agent took some data down, and so forth. But so you have this mix of structured and unstructured that's always been hard to glue together.
Mm-hmm.
Would this kind of help in those situations?
Absolutely. And again, it goes back to how much work are you willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
The less work you're willing to do, the more structured you want it. And I mean, I almost think it's cheating at this point to put together a form with text boxes and drop-down combos. And, you know, I mean, in some
ways,
that's
too easy.
It's too easy. It's too easy. I mean, not saying we shouldn't do that. And I'm still creating lots of forms-based applications. And, you know, because, I mean, there are definite reasons for those. You know, for example, going back to the application that I was talking about a few moments ago, the document itself, the scouting report document itself, is good for a singleton. Okay, it's not real good at parsing through and sorting and filtering and searching for, you know, 100 different scouting reports. mm-hmm. okay, and saying, you know, well, I'm looking for, you know, the top scorer, you know, or I'm looking for the guy with the best post-up move. You know, it's not good for that. There, you need a forms-based application, okay, because, you know, that's doing a lot more computation, a lot more structured. The Visual Studio tools for Office documents are really good at collecting information. They're not real good at the rest of the work that you're going to have.
But let's imagine, though, that for the scouting app, right, I've got scouts all over the place looking, right, and so I'm going to want to gather the scores and stats, right, and I probably want to print a report that shows me, you know, the top scores or top stats or whatever. If you said, okay, well, we've just got these Word documents, and they're all sitting in a directory. There's 500 Word documents there of our scouting reports from this year. Go at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'd have to hire a temp and like spend a couple
Absolutely.
Days like compiling a spreadsheet of those scores and, you know, to give me that report.
Right.
But if they were templates linked with VSTO, it could pull those numbers out, put them in a database for me. I could get the spread the whole list, and then maybe have a link to the document file mm-hmm. that I want to drill into. That would be a solution, right?
Yes. That would absolutely be a solution. And what happens right now is that instead of having 500 in a document, they email them one at a time, and they've got a temp or, you know, $10 an hour secretary who is typing them in as they come in.
Yeah.
You know, and saving all that into a database. So let's skip that person in the middle.
Right.
And go directly from the person who's typing it in the first place or sending the email and, you know, dump that directly into the database.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So far it's been all motherhood and apple pie. This is wonderful. You know, this is the greatest thing ever. But, I mean, surely you mentioned earlier there's some agony right. involved in here.
Yes.
What? Tell me about the agony.
Well, some of the agony is code access security.
Uh-huh.
Code access security is I mean, you're, if you're going to be doing Visual Studio Tools for Office, you will know code access security, and you will come to hate it or love it.
Depending on your perspective.
Yes.
Well, you know, those guys were... you have to remember, the Office team was totally burned by this moron that wrote the I love you virus, you know, whenever. And so they were like, that is never, ever happening again.
Absolutely. In order to run in the Word-hosted environment, your application has to have full trust.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. So what do you have to do in order to have full trust? Well... you've got to, you know, for your deployment, you've got to have code access security policies that ship with your application when it's deploying. And, you know, so for example, in the click once deployment that we were talking about a little bit ago, that works, but only if you have the code access security policy in place to trust either the signature on that assembly or that URL or both. And, you know, I mean, that can be administered from the enterprise level, but you still have to really understand how all that stuff works and have that working before you try to deploy a Visual Studio Tools for Office application.
So you'll want to come to VS Live and go to Josh's session so you know what these things are.
And if you already missed it...
Did you blog about it or something?
Yes. You can go to my blog, srtsolutions.com.
Okay. All right, so there's code access security is one piece of agony. What else?
Versioning. Versioning is a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a document that was, you know, written with version 1.0.0.0, and then somebody ships version 1.0.0.1, you'd think that'd be able to open.
Because you would
major,
hope so.
Right. Not always.
Oh, okay.
And so that's actually one of the big things that we'll be talking about in my session is versioning and how to overcome the versioning issues.
Well, don't leave me hanging here. How do we overcome that? I'm worried about it already. What do we do?
Well, you have to have conversions. You have to have other things in place. It's something that I have to show in code almost.
Well, okay.
I hate to say
that. So if I go to open that document, I'm going to have some code that converts it from the old version to the new version.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, if it's a simple matter of programming, right. then
it's
I can learn
it. It's a simple matter of programming. Yes. Yeah, you can figure it out. But yeah, I mean, versioning and code access security are the two biggest issues with Visual Studio Tools for Office right now. And I mean, Codex's security is, I mean, once you have it figured out, you have it figured out, and you're okay. But
you know, this is good though to get these concerns out on the table front. You know, because like if I were going to start a project today, having never done VSTO before,
right?
I'd want to make sure that I tackled those two up front.
Absolutely.
And really understood them. You know, not like, oh yeah, we'll figure that one out on the last week of the project. You know, when we get to deployment.
Right. Yep. And I mean, I've talked to, I can't tell you how many people who have, you know, been real excited about Visual Studio Tools for Office or some other technology. I mean, you know, technology du jour. And they are, you know, it's all working beautifully when they're running from Visual Studio.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then things don't go quite as well when they try to get to deployment. And, you know, so, I mean, there's...
And those are really hard problems to figure out, too, because,
absolutely.
You know... You're going, well, it's not working. I don't know why. And you can't load it up in the debugger. And, you know, as soon as you bring Visual Studio in the picture, everything works fine. And you're going like, well, I don't get it. You know, it's just a pain in the neck.
It really is. It really is. You know, I mean, other possible issues here are it's real hard to unit test.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big believer in unit tests
and
continuous integration. And that front-end UI stuff, especially in the hosted Word environment, it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's another possible thing that you need to keep in mind.
So you can't run your Visual Studio unit tests in VSTO, huh?
Well, you can. There's just, you can't test the front-end UI stuff. You can't test Word.
Oh, right. Okay, so you would need to you kind of factor your stuff so that the serious logic you're unit testing, and then you try to keep the stuff that isn't unit tested as light as possible. Right?
Yes, and that's, you know, advice across the board with any application is, you know, keep the business logic, the serious work, in DLLs and in back. You know, don't put it in the UI.
Well, and it's always hard to test UI. I mean, except for the web UIs, which are getting a lot better, they have the most support for testing them. But like form-based UIs and things are really hard to test anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely can understand that. Well, you know, it is. I'm seriously hungry because it must be dinner time. We have been here late in the evening and everybody's gone and, you know, we're closing the place down at VS Live. But thanks a lot, Josh, for stopping by.
Absolutely.
Josh Holmes, ladies and gentlemen. Visual Studio Tools for Office, the agony and ecstasy. Well, isn't that like all development, right? I mean, there's always some agony that goes with anything good. And, you know, Office is nothing different, I suppose, but it's really intriguing about building an application that runs in the context of, it's just one of the most used contexts of any in the world. I mean, even my kids know how to use all of the Office stuff. They learned it at school. And my middle son is great with PowerPoint. You ought to see it sometime, man. He just whips out those things and... He's headed on the right road, you know, because every good architect does PowerPoint, right? We'll see you next time on ArtCast.